Welcome back to the Gigi Meyer podcast, everybody, especially you, Dad. Welcome back.
I think, am I going to be a regular on this? I hope I am.
I hope so. This will be pretty cool. Yep. Everyone, he's back. And last episode, Dad, I think, changed my life all over again. We talked about a life-changing conversation you and I had, and I think it changed my life again. It was so fun, wasn't it?
It was fun, and I actually shared that with my staff when I was done, and I also brought up, I don't want to digress too far, but I think it's appropriate, is that life-changing moments. I actually got asked today in an interview, I can't remember who asked me that question, but name moments that changed your life, and your conversation, how when me and you sat down that day, did, there's a couple things I want to just bring up real quick, and the first one is that my life changed and professionally when Billy Donovan invited me to be part of the national championship basketball team in 2006. When he invited me to go to the Final Four against UCLA, we went in the locker room. I got a text, 1 minute left in the game. The Gators are beating UCLA for the national championship of basketball, first one ever. And I get a text, 1 minute left in the game, Coach Donovan wants you in the locker room. I go down behind us. My knees are shaking. There's 80,000 people. There's millions of people watching on TV. And all of a sudden, 3, 2, 1, boom, confetti flies everywhere. And it's the first national champion I ever witnessed. And I'm watching the players out there cut the nets down. And then, sure enough, boom, they come piling in the locker room and they're exhausted and they're pouring Sprite all over each other, whatever, 7-Up, whatever. And I'm sitting there thinking, if I could somehow get my coaches and my team to witness this, all selfishness, all laziness, all the human element stuff would disappear because it's worth it. Most people, what I got to witness, Gigi, never got to witness that. That changed my life immediately. And I took that, my whole goal for the next few months was somehow to get that locker room to my players. Here's the coolest thing that ever happened. Billy Donovan, I had the players speak to my team. I just kept painting the imagery of that locker room. You realize what happened 6 months later, right? Mm-hmm. The Gator football team won the national title. So when you talk about life-changing moments, I don't think, that goes back to our conversation. That was a life-changing moment for you. People, when you get those moments, you got to take advantage of them.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Great story. We'll have to do another podcast about that in and of itself. That was actually an epic era, too. So two national championships with the basketball team and two national championships with the football team.
Four in three years. Never be done again. That'll never be done again.
That was awesome. All right. So I do have a flight to catch. So we're going to dive right into it, if you're cool with it. Today, I wanted to talk about the top five qualities of a leader. And I feel like you have this down stat because you've been coaching literally ever since, even before I was born. But I want to see if ours align. So I picked my five, you picked your five. So how do you want to do this? You want me to go through my five first and then go through your five?
Gigi, I'm officially working for you for the next 20 minutes. So you are the boss lady.
Let's do one by one.
Okay.
So do you have yours ranked 1 through 5?
I have mine, and the top one is by far and non-negotiable, the most important, and I'll fight you on this.
Okay. I said trustworthy. Trustworthy. Because I think, the leader has to walk the walk. They can't just talk the talk. They have to walk the walk, and they have to show that they care, and trust is developed within a team from walking the walk, right? So I think, there are leaders, and they think that they lead well because they talk well. But you have to follow up by walking the walk, right? And so I personally was always someone who led by example, where I was just like, okay, watch me. I wasn't like the rah-rah person who was like giving speeches before and after volleyball games, right? I was the one who was just like, watch me, let's get the job done. And I was the one who was always early to practice. I'd play balls out, right, on game day. And I just show up consistently, right? So I feel like I was able to gain trust with my team. And so when I did feel the need to speak up, they would listen. But that's because I was walking the walk, right? What do you think?
Well, you might have had a good argument to maybe move my number one to number two. But I'm going to say the one thing about trust, and Tim Kite is a big believer. And, we had, part of our leadership training every year was Brotherhood of Trust. And that was because most people don't understand the value of trust. And as important, most people don't know how to earn trust. When you think about, and I'm older, obviously, that I've witnessed so many things in my lifetime when things fail is because of lack of trust. When marriages break up, why? It's not bad people. There's a trust issue. When you see football teams struggle, you can't say bad players. There's a trust issue. It's the foundation of every relationship you'll ever, quality relationship you'll ever have in your life. I'm not talking about the person you meet on the street, but my children. The minute your children don't trust your parents, that relationship, that's a hard one to come back from. The minute a football coach, the minute that staff doesn't trust you, that's almost irreparable. I don't care what plays you call. I don't care how strong or fast you are. If there's lack of trust, you will not be maximized. So I never, you know, I've always looked at trust as a critical component of, you know, I have that more in the relationship piece. But being trustworthy, I can't argue with it, Gigi. That's imperative. My number one is this, every great leader I've ever been around, great player, great leader, great teacher, great, they're the most competitive human beings I've ever been around. And so I have elite competitor. And I think elite competitor covers a lot of areas. You know, if you're an elite competitor and you want to refuse to lose, then you're going to, I think trustworthy will start because you're going to figure it out that I need to be trustworthy. So I think elite competitor is kind of an umbrella, is that the number one criteria that I would look for in hiring a coach is he an elite competitor. The number one quality I look for in drafting a player, you know, I never ask the ACT score. I don't really care what your 40-yard dash is by the time we get to this point, but is that person an elite, not a competitor? Because competitor to me is when it gets uncomfortable, sometimes they'll give in. The elite competitor, they refuse to lose. And if something happens where they do lose, they don't accept it as a loss, they run out of time. If think about that, Gigi, for a minute. The best, most competitive people you've ever been around, they never really accept losing. They just lose using as an opportunity to get better, and then really they haven't lost. They just ran out of time because they're going to come back again and again and again. Where what does a loser do? A loser accepts it. And you got to really be careful if you have those kind of people in your organization. If you have people that accept losing in your organization, I don't want to be too harsh, but there's a chance that you're going to be losers. If you have elite competitors in your organization, my dream, we have 53 players. When I was for 17 years, I've always said the same thing. The last thing I say to our players is 1, 2, 3, showtime. And they say showtime with me because that's to me, that's their payday. And if I know I have a locker room full of competitors, as I'm saying it, I know we're about to win this game. If I question the competitive spirit of my team or staff, there's a chance we're going to get our butt kicked.
Okay, awesome. So that kind of leads me into what my number two is. My number two is both like courageous and confident. I think a really good leader has to have courage, which ultimately like gives you, like when you have courage, you're going out of your comfort zone, and then you acquire confidence by, you know, doing things that are out of your comfort zone. And so when you have that courage and that confidence and the game is on the line, everyone looks to you, right? You're the person who stands up to the plate gladly and gets the job done. So I think that's number two, courage and confidence.
I wonder.
So that's kind of like your number one, but what's your number two?
It's kind of like my number two. My number two is toughness and mental and physical toughness. And I believe the mental toughness is something that has never been more difficult with the mental health issues going on in our society. I know why. I can't say exactly why, but it's a cruel world out there right now. It's the social media platform. When I was your age, geez, we didn't have that. You wanted to read the news, you woke up the next morning and read the newspaper. You know, not everybody was a journalist because they could type something on Twitter and send. And all of a sudden some narrative starts. And it's a very harsh, mean world. It's also a great world. But the mental toughness piece, and I've witnessed it with our players, with our coaches, with myself, with you, with the family. When I see, you know, you better be mentally tough to survive. And then obviously the physical toughness that goes back to the greatness about, you know, our conversations before about how greatness is hard. And people who don't say greatness is hard has never experienced greatness. Greatness is miserable at times. Greatness hurts. Greatness, if you want to be a great athlete, is very painful. If you want to be a great doctor, the amount of effort and the intense training and studying, that's painful. So greatness is very hard. You have to be mentally and physically tough to be a great leader, in my mind.
Awesome. All right, we'll move on to number three. So my number three is accountability. And to me, that means taking 100% responsibility of everything that you do, right? And because that allows you to learn, right? And you were kind of talking about this earlier, like if you just write something off and say it wasn't your fault, it's essentially a waste of time. You're not learning anything from it. But if you can, right? If you can take responsibility of it and say, what went wrong? What can I do better? Actually, like, how could I have helped the outcome of the situation? What could I have done better that sends, a message to everyone else on your team and your group and your corporation to, hey, take ownership in everything, 100% responsibility. And you can actually pull things away that you can learn and become better from it.
Well, our whole mantra here at the Jaguars, we brought it in January, is own it. The city of Jacksonville, mm-hmm. Let's own the Jaguars. Our players own it. Don't blame someone else. It's on you. We're signing our name to this thing. Own it. So that's one of the great, there's two qualities, inspiration, love, and ownership. Ownership being extremely strong. So that's really cool that you said that. So you made a comment about ownership. I'm just going to give you an example. Jamie Dimon, one of the great CEOs, J.P. Morgan Chase, he's an extremely talented businessman, and I got to know him. He came to speak to the Buckeyes one time, and I saw, just YouTube, watching his presentations over the years, and I said, man, I got to meet this guy. And I went to one of my assistants. I said, just reach out to Jamie Dimon. Who knows? He might like the Buckeyes. He might be a fan. He might be a football fan. It turns out he was a football fan. And we invited him to fly to Columbus, Ohio, and he did. And this is probably the number one speaker in America. And he spoke to our team, Gigi, and he got up there and he got really intense. And he started pounding on his table, on the podium, like this. And he said, I want people in an organization that own it. I don't want people in this organization to talk about us in a third person. I don't want people that complain. I don't want people that are one and done, where they just show up and they're really just renting the place. People who own it, it's your company, it's our company, it's family. If you can get that kind of own it mentality, or like you said, become accountable, that's great. Hard to argue with you. My third one is lead. Does a person have leadership skill? And leadership skill, people take that the wrong way. Leadership, before you can even lead or even attempt to lead others, I'm talking about lead yourself. So really accountability and leadership to me are very closely, because I think people misunderstand leadership. Leadership does not mean start screaming and yelling. Leadership, number one, is lead yourself. And that means take care of yourself. How can you stand in front of a group and be a leader and you don't take care of yourself? I would never allow that from our staff. If I do, I'm going to sit that person down and say, take care of yourself. You can't do that. You're asking your player to commit physically, mentally to greatness, and you don't. So you got to lead yourself. If you have the ability to lead others, I would always tell people, just add another zero to your salary, because that's how valuable people are. In the last 10 years, when I was at Ohio State in Florida, it became the number one question of NFL coaches as they walk into my office, because they're thinking about drafting our players. Can this person lead? If I said the person could lead, that person went up the charts as a draft pick. Because everyone, whether corporate America, whether it be in the military, in service-oriented organizations, or in athletics, everybody wants a leader. So leadership is my third one. Can they lead themselves? Can they lead others?
Yeah, that kind of goes back up to when I was talking about you got to walk the walk, right?
Yeah.
You got to walk the walk. You can't just talk the talk. I love that. Awesome. So then going into number four, which is what you were kind of talking about a little bit earlier too. It's like, it's all just coming together. We might rank it 1 through 5, but it's all kind of just coming together. But my number four is resiliency. You got to be able to bounce back from adversity. You were talking about this a little bit before, like failure. If you're not resilient, failure, it ends there, right? And you're not willing to kind of accept that as part of the process. And the matter of the fact is, greatness is not always going to be rainbows and butterflies. A lot of times it's not. And I think a great leader embraces that, as opposed to being broken by adversity. Tim Kite has this really awesome quote that I think about like every single day. He says, consequences don't break you, but they reveal you. So it's like adversity, when adversity comes, it's not like you failed. It's like, okay, there's an area of your life you can improve on. Now get to work. And so I was watching one of the volleyball players when we were at UF, right? I was probably in middle school. I haven't even gotten into high school yet. And I watched them all the time, how they play, how they responded to losing to a point. And I remember, like, I was the type that got angry. I would get angry if I lost a point, because I'm one of the most competitive person probably ever to exist, thanks to you. And I would get angry. And so I watched them and how they would respond to losing a point or making a mistake. And one of the players would almost like laugh it off. Like, she would be like, oh, that was a fluke. Like, she would laugh it off. And then her demeanor going into the next play was like it never even happened. So resilient, like resiliency to allow yourself to bounce back from adversity and not even dwell in, you know, the negative side of failure, but taking the positive from it. And so that actually changed the way that I played volleyball. I started like brushing off, you know, whenever I'd make a mistake, by laughing it off. And that kind of like lightens the mood of the team as well. And I don't know if that's something you agree with, but I don't know. It just helped me be able to bounce back from, you know, messing up a play or just anything like that.
That's something I have to work on. I mean, I'm not sure I can laugh it off, but but I think
that I don't know if you can, but
I think that would fall into the top. My number two was toughness. Remember, mental and physical toughness. Mm-hmm. I think that's resiliency. Mm-hmm. You know, have the mental toughness and the physical toughness to bounce off of adversity. So my number four is intellect, intelligence. And not necessarily, like I said, I don't really care what your ACT score is. But IQ and EQ. It's a very complex world out there right now. Do you have the intelligence to navigate the world? And I'm not talking about book smart. I have a daughter that owns a company, Gigi. I have a daughter that's a president of a company, Nikki. And both of them have told me they learned more on the court than they did in the classroom. You learned about leading people. You learned about adversity. And most importantly, you learned about people. People aren't in textbooks. You learn about diversity. You learn about respecting our family. What's really cool about our family, Gigi, because of athletics, there's never been a cultural, you know, we lived in Utah. We lived in Bowling Green. We lived everywhere. We lived in the South and the North and the East. We appreciate people from Polynesian, black people, white people, you know, everybody's backgrounds. I have never heard any conversation, and obviously that would never happen, but think about the opportunity that we've had as a family that you guys have learned on the court. And so when I say intelligence, I'm not talking about, I think intelligence is great, books, but I'm not devaluing 4.0s and PhDs, because that's incredible. But what I am saying is that's not exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the ability to navigate the complicated. And complicated is going to happen. Do you have the emotional and intellectual intelligence to navigate the situation? In the world I'm in, football is very complicated. And people who don't have those two qualities, the intelligence piece, they really struggle. I know people in corporate America, they're very hard workers, they're competitive as can be, they're resilient, they have all the characters that we just talked about, but they lack the IQ and EQ to navigate situations. And most importantly, the most important thing is people. This is a people world. Do you know how to handle people? Do you know, and that goes back to your trust model a little bit too, but that's why I have intelligence.
So how would, if I wanted to get better at IQ and EQ, what would be the best way to do that? How could I improve on that?
Well, I think the easy one is read. You know, spend a lot of time studying YouTube, studying, you know, I tell stories of all the time about when I studied Rick Majerus, you know, when I study, obviously, Bill Belichick, when I study Jamie Dimon, you know, that's how I'm gathering what? I'm gathering information. And then I'm going to put it in my own spin on how I'm going to lead people. I learn from our players. I want to start some of the social issues that have gone on in the last 2 years. I've not experienced that. So there's a couple ways to do it. Do this. We're not going to do that. I'm going to talk to people who live that world because I need to be intelligent in that, and I'm not. I need to learn this. So once again, learn, study, whatever endeavor you're interested in or that your world's in, mine is professional athletics now. I better be up on all the social issues that people are dealing with. I better be up on the concussion issues that football players deal with. And so I need to study that part of it. And the most important, you obviously study it, but you also talk to people.
Mm. That's awesome. I think you've convinced me. That's a good one. Which leads me into number
five.
I'm trying to
convince you. That's
I know. That's a good one. Number five is a good one. I said humility, being humble, right? And I think being humble allows you to be a very coachable person too, right? And you have to be coachable as a leader, and also approachable by your teammates, right? Which develops that trust too, which is what was number one for me. And I also think this is the most important thing to me too, is I think it allows you to just enjoy the ride and have gratitude in the journey as an athlete, as a CEO, as a, you know, a football coach. And I think with that gratitude and your ability to just enjoy the ride, it gives you even more reason to like give it your all. Cause you won't take anything for granted. Right. And when you have true, like I said, true gratitude for something, you're not going to take it for granted and you're going to utilize every opportunity and make the most of it. Right. And, awesome. And essentially that can lead to the legacy that you want to leave behind. So my number five is humility.
Man, I'm going to have to recheck my five. Really good. All right. I'm going to go. My number five is adaptability. And okay. Adaptability is when, you know, you prepare for situations. That's part of being a great leader, is you prepare what's, you know, our job is to get ready for the first game of the season. In the first game, what's the first play, second play? We expect them to play this defense. We're going to do this. And then all of a sudden, it's guaranteed it won't be exactly the way that you expect it to be. So the people that can adapt to a situation, I see people freeze. I see average leaders freeze in situations because it didn't go the way they expected to go. I've also seen exceptional leaders not only adapt, but excel when things don't go exactly right. It's very easy to take a visual of a guy named Patrick Mahomes. He's arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now for the Kansas City Chiefs. He plays his very best when he has to adapt. You know, I've seen coaches, and I've been around coaches, that they're at their very best when, all right, here we go. This is completely new. I have a plan. You know, you adapt to the situation. So I think adaptability, you know, so many of these things are, you know, I don't want to say it's tied to my world because for 35 years it's been college or professional athletics. But it's deeper than that. I've been on those corporate boards. I've learned so much in the last few years being, you know, on television, being in corporate America. And here's what's really cool, Jeej, and you know this because you're in corporate America now, is that the correlation between athletics and corporate America, it's the same. It's a perfect mm-hmm. correlation. One's trying to win a game, one's trying to win a business. And my last one is adaptability.
Mm. Well, yeah, what you just said, it couldn't be more true. Being an athlete, being in the family of, or the daughter of a, you know, head football coach, college and now NFL, that couldn't be more true. And I've seen that alignment, you know, the past year and a half, totally. But okay, awesome. Top five qualities of a leader. There you have it, everybody. And if you're finding yourself lacking in one of those qualities and you want to be a great leader, get to work. Right, Dad?
GFIT assistant Urban Meyer. I'm here at your service.
Co-host Urban Meyer. Dad, do you have any final thoughts about this episode?
No, I love you. I'm proud of you. And I've had people who watch it and I've talked to about this. And Tim Kite's one. He came in. I actually flew him down here to just visit with our staff a little bit. He said the one that we did, the life-changing moment. He says it's one of the best he's ever heard. How cool is that? Mm. GFIT, baby.
Wow. GFIT. Tim Kite, I told him he needs to be on a podcast with me too, and he said absolutely. So he's going to come on here soon too. I can't wait.
Kid.
All right, Dad, thank you so much for being here. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. And until next time, go crush the week.